In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, rather than dwelling upon the glories of St. Joseph, which we have ample opportunity to do so, let us revisit the readings for this past Sunday. If you came to Mass when I preached, you would note that we only covered a couple verses from the epistle. Let's cover the verse that came after all those verses which I had. That is to say, we were speaking about bearing with one another. From Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, I'll read that till where we shall begin in verse 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, so that you shall fulfill the law of Christ. Bear with one another your burdens. That's what life in the spirit really looks like. Have you ever in your life had to deal with somebody who was a bit heavy, who was difficult, maybe somebody who was a burden? I asked the boys before Mass if they had, and they smiled at each other. I won't tell you who they said. It may have been the one in between them. It may not have been. We all bear big burdens in our lives. The big burdens that we often think about are not the biggest of burdens. Truly, the biggest burden that you and I bear within our lives is that of our own soul, that concupiscence which weighs you and I down. Indeed, that's the only thing which can lead you and I away from God, giving into that concupiscence, that is to say, sin, that strong desire. So often we identify our greatest burdens in life with those who are around us, with those who struggle alongside us. Oftentimes, sadly, we don't have to go very far, not even to the next room. Oftentimes, they sleep in the same bed as we do. To live in the Spirit means that we have to bear one another's burden. This will be but a continuation of what we spoke about this weekend, but a deepening thereof, that there is so much that the Lord has in store for us in our neighbor, in those of our own household, even of those who we've entered into the marital covenant with, that allows you and I to advance in holiness beyond any other path. The saying yes to your vocation is a bearing, a taking up of the cross which God has given you, and that means that your vocation, lived out in this way, as we normally speak it, is lived out not for yourself, is lived out in a way where that God works in his spirit through you to do something good for someone else that is indeed necessary for your salvation. The tendency that we have is to become obsessed with the faults of those who are around us, is it not? To see all those difficulties that we bear in another person. It's something which is understandable for us to do so. It is their faults which make us suffer, and the suffering in turn reminds us of them continually. The human condition is such that what we tend to do is not remember the good things that are brought to us by other people so much as we remember those harsh events that we endure at their hands. So averse is human nature against evil that the adage proves true in great extent, to say once bitten, twice shy. But that is to underestimate the fact. In truth, it's once bitten, 10, 100, or even 1,000 times afraid are we. So it's understandable that we would have difficulty in bearing with the burden that happens to be the person around us who is imperfect, unlike us. Or so we often act, whether we admit it or not. Faults are ugly. Sins are ugly. So here's something that can change the script in your life. If faults are ugly, then why not look at something that's beautiful? Why not turn your eyes toward virtues? What is more beautiful or more excellent than a virtue? The good intentions of others are so often the things which escape our notice. Do not judge intentions. Because one thing I can assure you is that it has happened to me that having ascribed bad intentions to somebody, I've later had proof that I was wrong, and that he had something completely indifferent in mind in what he did than what I thought he was intending to do. And so what does that prove to be true? That my brother was evil? Or that my eye itself was evil in seeing evil in my brother, which he himself did not intend? That's a great lesson for you and I. As much as we can ascribe good intentions to your neighbor, do so. We have to say as much as we can, because at times, of course, it is plain to see as daylight that that is a fault and that is something which is reproachable. But as far as one can, You and I are to make excuses for those who are around us for even the evil things that we see them doing. This is the way of humility. In fact, it is the way of charity and of perfection. St. Thérèse, the little flower, wrote this, and I'll give you her quotation. She wrote, quote, "When I want to increase in myself my love of my neighbor, especially when the devil tries to put before the eyes of my soul the faults of this or that sister who is less appealing to me, I hasten to seek out her virtues, her good desires. I tell myself that if I have seen her fall one time, she may well have undergone a great many victories that she hides through humility, and that even what appears as a fault to me could very well be an act of virtue because of the intention." She continues to say, "Ah, I understand now that perfect charity consists of enduring the faults of others, of not being astonished at their weaknesses, of being edified by the smallest acts of virtue which one sees them practice." End quotation. That's a little flower. She herself saw that she focused on the faults, on the ugly things so often, and then working against that, saw the way in which she could focus instead upon the goodest little actions. In fact, the goodest little intentions that may underlie those actions that are there. And then to see the beauty that is ultimately within, usually which, brothers and sisters, that the person themselves indeed fails to see. It is for this reason that maybe you and I can see why she found it so easy to smile at those who she found it so difficult to love. Because she was always, always searching out that which was most beautiful in them. It's obvious that you and I can't be expected to experience the same feeling in our hearts towards someone who wishes us evil as we do for those who we know wish us our greatest good, that we feel consolations and deep expressions of love. That there are even holy kinds of anger that should rise up when we see evil, we must admit, but always remember that nothing troubles hearts, that nothing troubles that of our Lord Jesus Christ in us like dissension and discord, which so often arise within our relations. Nothing is more directly opposed to Christ than that which divides. What do we call that creature which seeks division? Do we not call him the devil, the divider? No one is completely in control of his first reactions. But even after you and I react badly, maybe first with a wince, or with a turn of an eye, or a frown, or something which is so difficult for us to control, recollect yourself quickly after you do that. For St. Vincent de Paul has this to say. He says, quote, "To pardon an injustice received is to heal the wound in your own heart." And indeed, that is the key to bearing burdens with one another. To see that even when they wound us, that our first action must be to forgive, even if it's not for their sake, but indeed to heal that wound which was struck in us, to forget and refuse to resent, which means to say, to re-feel, to re-sentire, to feel again that wound and to bear it hence. In the burdens which you bear in others at this time, ask our Lord for help here within this Eucharist to be able to overcome it, to become a little bit more like the little flower. Just instead of preoccupying ourselves with that which is ugly, that is to say faults and sins in others, to rather to do the hard work of searching out that which is ultimately good, to find the virtue in that other person. And then when we focus on that virtue, it becomes all the easier to enjoy the presence of such a person and even to relish time with an enemy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.